HDB is very much a part of our lives.
Yes.
A lot of people live in one of them. And now they're being classified into Standard, Plus, and Prime.
I always get Prime and Plus mixed
up. Oh, really?
Yeah,
which one do you think is better? Plus or Prime?
Plus sounds good, right? But actually, Prime is the best.
Okay, so Standard is the basic.
Yeah.
Plus is a little bit better than Standard, and Prime is even betterer than
that's right.
Plus. So it's like a step up. So that's why I keep saying Standard, Plus, and Prime, so I can see it in that category, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so location is a factor,
yes,
right?
Yes, a big factor.
The main factor. So you may not get a Prime flat in, say, Woodlands or Sengkang, but maybe in the greater southern waterfront, which, you know, in pictures looks really lovely, right? So that for sure there would be a Prime and Plus category of flats there. And of course, they are priced differently as well, right? So there are selling restrictions, etc. Which is why in the latest exercise, 35,678 people applied. Which is the highest since August 2022.
Wow, okay.
That's quite a lot.
So that's quite a lot. And that's what we want to talk about today. What was driving this demand? Is this new classification system off to a good start? Or is it going to change the way people look at HDB flats?
Let's start with the October release. I think people would love it if you guys could explain. What stood out for us was that the two-room flexi flats, which now singles can apply for. So more than 10,000 of them applied for just 1,902 units. What's going on there?
First of all, yes, the application rate or subscription rate has increased. Currently, it's about 5.7 times. 5.7 times for this particular exercise. If we compare it with the earlier exercise this year, it was 2.5 times.
Right.
So yes, we can argue that it has done better.
So with this new system, I mean, at first when it was first announced, people thought, well, Plus and Prime are not going to be as popular because of the restrictions, you know, the longer wait period before you can resell it. The subscription rate still is high and there, especially for those areas. So why is that the case?
We found that 14 of the 15 projects are located less than 800 metres from their nearest MRT station.
Ah.
So basically walking distance. Only one of them, the one at Jurong, is located further, about 1.5 kilometres away. Subscription rate is the least among all the 15 projects.
Okay. That's interesting.
So now basically, I think HDB wants this new classification to work because earlier, we only have the project that has 10-year minimum occupation period, the MOP, was the PLH project, the Prime Location Public Housing Scheme.
Yeah.
And I think one of the bugbear among some of the young families is that they have to wait 4 to 5 years for it to build. Then they have a 10-year MOP. So they have to basically, the moment you apply, you can't buy another property for the next 15 years.
That's right.
And if you are just a newly married couple, in 15 years' time, you could have children that is maybe even applying to go to secondary school. You may need to move during that 15 years. So it's one of the things that actually deters some people from applying for flats with 10-year MOP.
But how is it different from this round, though? I mean, you still have Kallang Wampo, you still have Geylang, for example, at Plus. The time it takes to build is also going to be still about a few years, right? And you still have the 10-year MOP. So how is that different from before?
I mean, especially young applicants, I think the choices can be quite different. Some of them may be not so much about this MOP, even though they're 10-year MOP, but location-wise, actually can be attractive.
I think
the long-term kind of planning, if you actually think that the location is an ideal location for them to grow in their family, to have children. I think it's not easy to come by some of these Prime and Plus location, especially in near the city centre.
Yeah.
Because once you build, that's it.
I guess if you're looking for a home for you to live in, actually 10 years isn't that long.
Let's talk a bit about the restrictions. 10 years minimum occupation period, income ceiling, 14K for couples, 7K for singles, cannot rent out the whole place. If I were a young person, why would I buy, you know, a flat like that with so many restrictions?
But why not? If I'm looking for a home as a single, if I'm earning, you know, $6,000 a month, this is what I can afford, is in a decent location, and
I get government subsidies.
Get subsidies too. It sounds like a pretty good deal.
Essentially, they've said, stop buying BTO to flip, buy to live.
if you look back to this prime location housing and plus location housing classification, basically these are located in a very prime, in a very centrally located area, near city center, near MRT station. If government don't actually provide enough subsidy, a lot of these houses will not be affordable to the mass, because I think if you look at the market pricing perspective, I think you have to price at a certain price before they actually can launch it. You know, because the resale market in this area are probably reaching near $1 million. So if you don't actually give additional subsidy, difficult for the medium and low income family even consider for some
so
of these.
So if we
flat.
Leave it to pure market forces, demand and supply, prices would just be
it's unaffordable. It's just out of reach for a certain group of households.
Right, right.
So it's not being inclusive in the sense, I think you crowd up, you may squeeze up some segment of the household, even though they actually prefer to stay in this city location, but I think just price out of reach.
So even though the clawback, even though there are certain restrictions, you think still it seems like a pretty good deal for someone in that situation?
That's right. I think for them, if it's location-wise, if it's really ideal location, I think they can actually still afford it, because with this additional subsidy given by the governments.
So it's to make it like an even playing field for everyone.
It's a good entry level public housing. And I think that is something that's unique to Singapore. I think very few countries, their governments are able to provide very affordable public housing, especially for young families, as a first step on the property ladder. And Singapore is able to do it for a few reasons. And one of them is that the government is the biggest owner of land in Singapore.
Yeah.
Number two is that they have the budget, a big reserve, financial reserve to build. And the other thing is, of course, they have the support of the people. And that is why we come back to this October 1. This new classification with the 10-year MOP is now widely accepted.
Yeah.
And I think another reason is the price. A lot of these plus and prime flats are actually priced quite attractively. Mm. And that subsidy, in a way, is a market discount. So if, let's say, these flats are built by private developers, they could be priced at $1 million or more for the four-room, the larger flats on higher floors.
Yeah.
But they are sold at maybe $700,000. So you're seeing about a 30% discount. And that is one of the big draws.
Let's talk a little bit about the clawbacks, right? So people have been talking about between 6-9%, right, for prime and plus flats. Some people have said that people will just factor in the 9% into their selling price. It's not going to be a big, friction for them.
I mean, the idea of having this subsidy recovery is to actually curb some of this speculative behavior, because I think if people actually buy this plus and prime location flat and you flip to make a windfall gain, I think this is contrary with the public housing kind of objective, because I think it's meant for you to have this flat and
roof over your head.
Yeah, roof over your head and a home, you see.
Would the standard flats apply? The same logic, right? For instance, if I buy a standard flat, in, say, Sengkang or Pasir Ris or whatever, and then I sell it 5 years later, no restrictions,
no callback,
I can still make a windfall, can I?
Yes, you can. And I think they would, because even if in the current market, the BTO flats are already priced between 20-something to 30-something percent discount. So if you buy it now and you're not allowed to, but if you can sell it next week, you already make that windfall.
Sure.
So 5 years or 10 years down the road, when inflation basically factor in cost the prices of everything to rise, including HDB flats, resale flats, yes, they would make that nominal, they would make a windfall,
right,
or some profit.
But part of the question is, why the standard flats do not have the same criteria as the prime and plus flats?
In terms of the clawback.
Yeah. Oh, simple reason, because the standard flats is actually the so-called normal flats before this new classification. And the other thing is that they are usually located in the more outlying areas.
Okay.
In the what we call the outside central region, in places like Woodlands, Tampines, and Jurong West, and so on. Now, coming back to your earlier questions about people trying to price in that the clawback, into it, there's a few things that actually prevent. Number one is all sellers of HDB resale flats are, in a way, price takers. right? You are trying to sell, and so are like 20,000 other people in the whole market. So you have to take the price of what the market decides. Mm. And in that situation, you can't say, I need to pay a 6% clawback. So I'm going to price it 6% more. Because your neighbor may not think that same way. They may price it a little bit more, and they will get the buyers and not you.
Yeah. But on the flip side, if everyone staying in Woodlands decides, I want to add the 9% into my pricing, then every flat there goes up by 9%. That can also
possible,
work, right?
Possible, right?
Especially only if the market buyers supports it. Only right. if you have a super bullish market.
So it really depends on market forces at the time.
Basically, this 6 to 9% is about the subsidy given to the buyer upfront, because in order to reduce the price and make them affordable for the masses, I think they actually provide more subsidy. That's why the plus actually given additional subsidy, prime given even more subsidy. That's why the subsidy recovery are different. So I think this subsidy recovery is to actually reduce some of this windfall by taking up some costs, you know, transaction costs if you sell it compared to standard. Because standard flat owner may say that, I don't get the additional subsidy.
Yeah. But they do get subsidies, they do right? It's just that they don't get as much as the other two.
I mean, technically, this additional 6% to 9% is to just take back the subsidy
that I gave you, so that you don't make money off my...
You still make money, but this...
Not as much money.
this additional grant should
be... No, because if you think about it, at the end of the day, the HDB flat is also an investment. We cannot deny that. Just like any property, you buy and you hope that in years to come, the price will go up when you sell it, right? So we have to admit that. I think this is just to try and level the playing field a bit more, but it will never make it entirely fair for everyone.
There is one way, but then it will be super unpopular.
Communism.
And that is, that way, it goes in that direction. It's a very socialist way, which is that nobody owns the HDB flat except the government.
Oh, yeah.
So you basically, the moment you buy the flat, if you want to sell it, you have to sell it back to the government.
It's like
that
a lease.
Way, the government decides all the selling prices. The government may let you make a little bit of profit or none at all. And basically, the government can keep on making sure that the resale flats are always affordable. It's the same price as BTO flats.
Yeah.
But in such a situation, that some people will be unhappy because if they compare with the current situation.
Like literally everybody will be unhappy. I mean, the thing is, everybody I know, you know, a young person today, thinks that the BTO flat is like, if they can, they should get it. Because for them, it is a way to make money down the line. Maybe 10 years later, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But at least there is some, they are convinced that they will make money.
Actually, price go up partly, not because, just simply because it's the secondary market. I think there are a lot of factors. I think the economy must grow. And also, the quality of this house must be well maintained because you're looking at down 10 years, 20 years down the road when you sell it. I think this is also a form of social compacts. You know, you help some of these younger people to be able to move up the ladder.
Sure.
So they also have some aspiration in terms of housing upgrading.
Yeah.
Actually, I got to say, it just makes sense. And look at the new HDB flats. They look really quite good. In fact, they look nicer than some of the condominiums out there, right?
The HDB resale market, it's very consistent, right? It keeps going up and, you know, it's very robust. I'm thinking, do you think this will continue?
Because of various factors, economic growth, growing population. We have 6 million people in Singapore now. Yeah. And the other thing is growing household wealth. For the last 10 years, Singapore's average household wealth has been growing, except for 1 year, 2020, during the COVID period. But that was just a blip. And then after that, it keep on growing. Mm. Right. So when people have more money, they want to buy better things for themselves, and they are willing to spend more on basic necessity like housing.
Right.
And that is one of the contributors to rising prices of resale flats.
So you're saying this is not really a cooling measure, so to speak. The main purpose is to make homes more accessible to everyone.
Yes.
Mm. Accessible and also not to like flip it for profit. To actually turn this idea that the home is for you to live in.
Precisely.
For you and your kids eventually, something like that.
I think the other thing is important to learn from the history is that I think market is cyclical. Cyclical in the sense that it may not always go up. It probably will actually adjust at some point in time. We have not seen this adjustment for a long, long time. Since 2010, the prices have gone up, except there's minor adjustment during 2013 after the ABSD was introduced and tightened. And but if you look at historically, 1997, 2007, this financial crisis can actually derail this price appreciation. So had to be a little bit more careful when we think about prices is going to go up all the way, but it's not always that case.
Okay, so no guarantees.
Of course, there's never any guarantees. But we do know how housing is a big issue here in Singapore.
I feel like 10 years is a very long time.
Because you're older, lah.
No, but, you know, I mean, so hopefully young people get a home that they love and they can stay. I do have to admit, though, it's a very tempting thing because, I mean, I had a HDB flat. And after the five-year MOP was up, people knocked on my door. And they were like, are you going to sell? Because it was on a high floor. It's a pretty good flat. You know you can. So you, there's always this thing at the back of your mind. Oh, you can make money. Right. So that's always the challenge, I suppose.
Well, I think part of it is contributed by all those flyers from property agents. Sure, it's the agents prompting because they want to earn
tell
the
property agents.
You didn't think about it until you got the flyer and then you're, oh, yeah, maybe.
Exactly.
You know?
Then you start thinking, you know, perhaps.
It's hard not to, but I would still say, I mean, the best is to make your money somewhere else. The home is nice, you know, but I think I would rather, after spending so much time doing it up the way you like and then to have to move again, but that's just me. Thank you so much for coming in, sharing your thoughts on this issue. And if any of you have any feedback and any thoughts yourself about, you know, the kind of flat you're going to buy and why you would do that, just let us know. Love to hear from you.
Thank you to the wonderful production team, Junaini Johari, Tiffany Ang, Arjun Bala, Joanne Chan, and To Yen Yun. Our video editor is Hanida Amin, and sound mixing by Ken Delbridge. Thank you, everyone. See you next week.